Imagine Christmas is over. All the programs have been performed. All the pictures have been taken. The carolers are done singing. The holiday parties have come and gone. The presents are unwrapped. And the big dinners have all been eaten. The Christmas music is turned off. The family's headed back home. Someone from work is on the phone. The kids have a practice to get to. The house needs to be cleaned. The bills still need to be paid. The groceries are running low. The stock market is still down and up and down. The TV is still on. The news is still worrisome. Life just keeps going as if Christmas never happened. But it did happen. Look around. The church is full of family and friends and laughter. Because the baby is still the Savior. And the Savior is still the gift held out to a world still looking for joy, an earth still waiting for peace, and the peaceful still sing in wonder of the God who gave his Son, and the Son who gave his life to add us to his family, and one day welcome us home. Imagine Christmas is over. But remember that it really happened. And it changed everything.
It's the truth. Christmas changed everything with what it began. Let me ask you this morning, how did Christmas change you? How did this Christmas change you? Now, let me be quick to acknowledge that for many of us, the answer to that question may be found in what we call our New Year's resolutions. Let me also lovingly warn you that if your New Year's resolutions are self-centered, superficial, or frankly just void of Christ-likeness at all, there's a problem. There may very well be a problem. See, you may be in a church today, but you yourself may not yet be the church. Now, let me tie in this message this morning and the Messiah. You see, I want you to know, as we come to the conclusion of the book of 1 John, as we close out the year 2013, and a year-long, 12-month series focused on becoming the work of God. Know this, friends. Know this. That both John, the human author of the book of 1 John, Jesus, the divine author of the book of 1 John, and every living, breathing child of God wants you to know where you stand with God and his family. That the book of 1 John, the Bible, the ministry of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the church, the presence of God's people is here in large part so that you and I would know where we stand with God and his family, the biblical church. This morning, we're going to close out the book of 1 John looking at verses 13 through 21 of chapter 5, the end of the book. And last week, we focused on verse 13, and we're going to roll that into this week, because here's the thing. As the book of 1 John closes, beginning in verse 13 of chapter 5, the word know, to have an assurance, a knowing, is used 7 times. And this is where and how God wants to finish this book. My prayer, friends, is that you and I will come to a place of knowing God in the way that he is to be known. And let me just tell you up front that this is to be a people who know the truth, who live the truth, who love the truth, who are the truth, ambassadors for Christ, with a heart of worship. You'll see before we're done this morning that if you will show me a people who biblically worship, I will show you the church of Jesus Christ. You show a people that are sold out, all in, truth, love, faithful obedience to Jesus Christ the Lord and his truth, his gospel. And I will show you the church of Jesus Christ. This is the message of John. This is the message not only of the book of 1 John, but you'll see again as we go next year throughout 2014 and walk through the gospel of John, where John was writing in the gospel to help us understand salvation. He has written in the book of 1 John to help us understand sanctification. Well, friends, I can boil it down for you this way. Truth in love with a heart of worship. And so I tell you up front this morning, we are going to walk through a worshipful experience. I'm going to have the power and the presence of the ministry of music preach to us this morning. I pray that you are ready to sit in an environment where the truth of God's word will be explained and impact us and unpacked through the ministry of music. Let's move forward and look at the very word of God. For you see, if you don't know the word of God, then you can't possibly believe the word of God. And Jesus has made it very clear throughout the scriptures that to know him, one must believe in him. And I say it this way, you cannot know biblically what you do not believe biblically. Oh, you can become active and you can do some stuff and you can look the part. But listen, if you don't know something, you can't believe that something. Let me give it to you in the context of salvation. If you don't know the problem and your need for a Savior, then you won't believe the solution that is the Savior. If you don't know the problem, you won't believe the solution. Make sense? It's amazing what happens when we just slow down and we contemplate God and his word. Listen to verse 13. Here, God's word says, I have written these things. We looked at this last week and we unpacked just this verse. Here's the truth. Here's the love. Here's what you need to know that you know that you know. I have written these things to you who believe, not to just anybody, but to the children of God who believe in the Son of God, so that I've written these things to you, believers, so that you will know, that you will know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. I'm going to share with you this morning as we unpack these closing verses, 9 attributes, 9 core characteristics of the church. You will see, because what John is doing here at the close is he's now kind of re-summarizing everything that we've gone through. And he wants to send us off with a driving thrust of truth and love. The first point that he wants you and me to know is that Jesus is Lord, and that our lives are to bring him glory through the sharing and the spreading of the gospel. And he says, for everyone who lives in this truth, first thing, church, know that you are healed. Know that you are healed. You were doomed to eternal death through the stain of sin. But if you have surrendered to him and received the miracle of his grace and the presence of his spirit, then know this, friends, you are healed. And a healed people are powerful people. A healed people know no fear. A healed people live with the blessed assurance that only comes as blessed slaves under the master of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Now, not just any Jesus, not just the Jesus that somebody makes up, but the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Jesus who said that you must pick up your cross daily and follow me. The Jesus who confronted the rich young ruler that looked like a church all-star and sent him away because he would not relinquish the one thing that he held on to more than Jesus the Christ. The Jesus who said, listen, everything that you've heard, all of what God and the prophets have said hinge on these two things. Go all in. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The Jesus who said, here's why you exist. Bring me glory by being my witness, empowered by my spirit. Go regionally, go locally, go to the ends of the earth, and you make disciples. Don't just go, don't just feed people sandwiches. You go make disciples. What's that mean? It means you teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. I don't think I can do that, Jesus. Don't worry, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That Jesus. The Jesus who said that there will be those that will show up on Judgment Day who will think that they're good to go because of their resume. And he says, and I'll send them away and I'll tell you, I never knew you. Those who will come and say, look at my house that I built with my own two hands. And he says, yeah, you're about to see what happens when the flood comes because what you've built on your own will not stand in my presence. That Jesus. Friends, I ask you, are you healed? You see, biblically, friends, the church is the hurting who have been healed. Take that to heart, please. The church is the hurting who have been healed. I have written these things to you so that you will know that you have eternal life. What do you do to scare Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You can't do it if you've truly been healed. I want to offer you a worship experience, first one that we'll have many of this morning, a song that is written, and it really speaks to this truth. It says, listen, if you are a people of worship of the one true God in the truth and the love that only he can provide, then you've been healed. Everything is new. If you're the church, friends, as we've talked about, you'll be odd in this world. Praise God, you'll be obvious. There'll be a lot of things that get thrown at you. But you'll be obsessed in your overcoming in Christ. Built on this one thing that you will know. You will know that you have been healed. And that all things are new in you. Enjoy this time with the King, I pray. Girl. think, well, that's kind of long. My prayer is that you will sit and soak in the beauty and the privilege and the blessing of worship. You see, one of the things we don't talk about often enough is to be the church, is to be the people that God has healed. And we show this to a broken, hurting, dying world. Look at the next verse, 14, and you will see that the church is the people that is heard. We are not only healed in Christ, we are heard by God. Listen to what God's word said. This is the confidence, this is the knowing which we have before him, our King, that if we ask anything according to his will, he, God of creation, hears us. Friends, the key to this verse is one to know that if you are a child of God, you are heard by God. And just sit with that in your heart for a minute. That the God who spoke creation into being, the God who would hang on a cross, hears you. If you come to him in and for his will. Those that are healed are also heard by the same God Almighty, the same Jesus the Christ. I want to share with you another video clip, but this time not to invite you into a place of worship, but to invite you on to the mission field, where you see the church is the people of God who go for God. And I want to show you the beautiful irony of what happens when the people who are heard by God take upon themselves the call to live out faithful obedience and go to a people that can't hear anything at all. I pray that before we're done today, you will see that as a people who have been healed by God and who are heard by God, we will go to those who physically and spiritually cannot hear at all. This too is what it is to be the church. Let our brothers and sisters inspire you, I pray.
It was not only a bold challenge, but it was an unimaginable challenge that a church that does not have a deaf ministry, that does not have deaf members, that we would choose to embrace the deaf Malagasy of Madagascar. We had to step out in faith. We had to step out in not knowing what we were going to encounter, but depending on God to lead us through it.
This looked like a larger city, and
it's overwhelming. There's 200,000 deaf people on the island of Madagascar, and they're spread all over among 18 to 20 million people.
Here in Madagascar, poverty among the deaf population is at 80%. Jobs are hard to come by, and the people are poor. It's a problem. Access to education and access to sign language resources do not exist. When deaf children are provided information via sign language, then they can know about Jesus.
What has God taught me while I have been here? God has taught me to trust him. This hearing team sent me to spread the stories of Jesus far and wide. Is his love to be shown through only me? No, but through the hearing, too. God has made no error. He doesn't make mistakes.
God opens doors. He opens hearts. Like, I'm not sure if they knew we were going to come here today, but yet they just have accepted us with open arms. I mean, it's like this was planned a long time ago.
You know, all I can say is that this is where God wants us to be, and he has led us to this spot, you know. And God, he's an almighty God, he's an all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he knew that we were needed here, and that he knew that we were going to be touched by this.
I feel like just from the fact that we can play, just from the fact that we can love and smile and share joy, our source of joy is Christ. And so if we share some joy with them, I feel like that will totally be something the Lord can use to let us speak to these kids.
Having an IMB missionary on the field is so important and so helpful. Matt met with us as soon as we got on the island and gave us an overview of the people of Madagascar. Then he helped us understand the religious beliefs and what we would be encountering as we worked with the deaf Malagasy. And Matt's band is there through the gifts of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the cooperative program. And coming here, God has opened doors. We have been in homes. We have been in schools. We've been in factories, all with a total deaf population, and finding a wonderful way of communicating, laughing, and sharing about ourselves and finding out about them, where truly we have friends here among the deaf Malagasy.
Friends, those of us who know that we've been healed will help others to get healed. Those of us that know we are heard by God will help others hear God. The next verse, verse 15, tells us that we should know as the church that we are the haves in a world of have-nots. Now, I know that may be counterintuitive and countercultural because, well, if you're in the church, you're the old stick in the mud. You're the ones that don't have any fun at all. You don't have any kind of material wealth. You don't have anything of the world. So be it. But we are the haves amongst the people, a world of have-nots. For if you have Christ, you have all that you need. Pragmatically, what we see here is God wants his church to know that we have his blessing. Listen to verse 15. And if we know, and we do, that he hears us in whatever we ask, that is asked in his will, then we know that we have the requests which we have asked for from him. If we know that we have the requests that are in and from his will, then we have everything we need. 2 Peter 1:3, you have everything you need for life and godliness. Friends, we are the haves in a world full of have-nots. We know this to be true over and over and over again throughout the book of 1 John, throughout all of Scripture, throughout the walk of every living true believer, are these pillars of truth, love, and faithful obedience. Upon that, all of what you and I will ever need, given by the grace of God for the purpose of his glory, is there. We are the haves in a world full of have-nots. Look at verse 16. Not only now do we know that we have been healed, not only do we know that we are heard, not only do we know that we are the haves in a world full of have-nots, we also need to know as the church that we're his helpers. We're the designated helpers in this lost and dark world. God's word says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request of this. Now look, the point here is simply this, that as the church, we're to help one another. We're to help. We've been called and created for the purpose of serving our King and the elect. Now, what I like personally about this verse is it draws us right into the thick of hard living. You see, this is a call to get into the fray with a brother or sister who has fallen or stumbled. This says that when you see somebody that's sinning, pray for them. Get involved in their life. Be the brother or the sister that's the true helper. Anybody can say, yeah, I don't want to go there. That gets kind of messy. No, God's word says be a helper. Be one that's going to go stand in the gap. Go get messy. God says, listen, come and beseech me to intervene on their behalf. Come into a place of intercessory prayer. God wants you and me to know that we belong in prayer, that we belong in the trenches coming alongside, that we belong to this place of getting messy in real life koinonia. I pray that you'll see the call in the book of 1 John and throughout the scriptures and here in this verse to be a helper. As John said four places in the book of 1 John, he said, I'm writing to help promote supernatural unity in the body. I'm writing for the purpose of helping to prevent you from sinning. I'm writing for the purpose of helping to protect you from the liars, the dark, the false spirits, the antichrists, the children of the devil. Don't miss this. 1 John 2:19. That used to be amongst you. The ones who now are on the outside, that used to be on the inside. Who, listen, this is not because they moved from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's because they moved from the truth to a lie. And it doesn't have to be 180 degrees off. It just needs to be 1 degree off to be off. What he's saying is, be the helper. Come pray. Come beseech me to intervene for those that have gotten lost in the muck and the mire, that might be getting pulled away by these false teachers, that are being pulled away by the wolves. Now he also says there is a sin that leads to death. And I'm not telling you to pray about that. Just a quick point, because you can go into some deep theological weeds here. Here's the point. If you're saved, you can't sin your way out of salvation. There is a sin that does not lead to death. That does not mean that an unforgiven sin is not going to be taken to eternal damnation. What this says is that when a Christian sins, it's not going to lead to losing their salvation. It leads to a broken fellowship with the Spirit of God, and we should pray for restoration there. Pray that your brother or sister will repent, that then come back into a healthy place with the Spirit. There's also a sin that does lead to death. And this speaks to the pattern of one's life that ultimately says, no, Lord. We saw this as one of the proof tests of 1 John. That those that will say as a pattern of their lives, no, Lord, do not know him as Lord. That is the sin that ultimately leads to death. Those that ultimately push away the grace of God. Now, I will say this to you. If you read 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's a very challenging and very direct verse that speaks to us needing to stand in the gap and be one of these people that will go and be a helper. 1 Corinthians 4:2 speaks to what it is to be a steward of Christ's blessing and call. It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Friends, that's a call for you and me to get in the mess. It's also a call for you and me to bring the message of the Messiah to somebody who's in a mess, and to do it lovingly, consistently, without compromise. If you look at verse 17, we'll see now that the church is also going to know that we are the people that are held by God. What a blessing. To know that we are healed, to know that we are heard, to know that we are the haves. It only continues on to know that we are held in the power and the presence of God's hand as a helper. God's word, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. This is what I just shared with you. You can be held in the hand of Almighty God, Christian, and even when you stumble, you don't ever have to fear the fire of damnation if you are truly his. Friends, if you know that you are held, you will help others to come into that saving grip of grace. Amen? This is in large part what it is to be the church. Verse 18 says, to know that you are his is to know that you are holy. Verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God, that means Jesus, keeps you and me, and the evil one does not touch him. Friends, do you realize that to be the church, to have the Holy Spirit indwelt in you, is a call to holiness? Do you know that you are holy? Not because of your lifestyle, not because of your resume, but because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when you realize this, you'll realize just how much mercy God showers down upon us. When you look and you say, I am holy, You have the righteousness of God given to you, bought on the cross with the broken body and spilt blood of Jesus the Christ. And he says, you now have my righteousness. Church, we are called to be holy. Are you holy? And if so, I promise you'll be humble, because you will realize just how much mercy rains down upon us. Again, I invite you into a time of worship in that truth. you know that you have been healed, if you know that you are heard, if you know that you are amongst the haves, if you know that you are blood-bought, hand-picked helpers who are securely held through the promise of the cross, and that you know that he has made you holy, I promise you it will change who you are. It will define who you are. And if it doesn't, then with all the love in my heart, know that God is saying to you, wake up and come to me. I beckon you not to a religion, not to a church, but to a relationship with Christ alone. No more, no less. Friends, this is the love. This is the truth that we, the church, are blessed to champion. When you look at verse 19, you'll see that the church knows that we are his. Do you hear this? Listen to what he says. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Friends, we could spend a month on this verse alone. Do you know that you know that you know that you are of God? Not that he's simply the creator who is over you. He's everybody's creator. Is he your savior? Do you know that you are of God? Now listen, some of us will say, I don't know that anybody's of God, because when you look at the mess that this world is in, when you know the pain that I have gone through, if you knew the suffering, if you knew the abuses that came at me as a child, if you know the work environment I'm in, do you have any idea what the economy is doing to my life? Do you know, do you know, do you know? Friends, if you know that you are his, nothing else matters. Oh, we may have to live through it. But let me tell you, you will come to realize that everything that he is doing is ultimately for his glory and your good. You say, Pastor Jeff, how can you say that? Do you know the tragedy? Listen, I don't minimize anybody's tragedy or struggle. But I stand on the promise of God. And he says that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And so I say to you this morning, as one who knows that I'm his, that you too, on the promise and the grace of God, you too could come to him if you will surrender your heart. And if the barrier for you is the pain and the struggle and the trials and the tragedies of your life, let me just tell you again, with an opportunity to inform, I pray, inspire, and ultimately to invite you to Christ, then nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted under the goodness, the greatness, the grace, and the glory of our God. Thank you. Friends, the church knows that we are his. Forever you reign. Listen to one of the pieces of that song. You are loving, you are wise. There is nothing in my life you cannot revive. Friends, I can tell you, if you're one who is struggling with the trials and the tragedies of life and you say, I don't know if I can be his church because I don't know if I can surrender. I can tell you as one whose mom took her life when I was 3, who have lived through creative forms of abuse. I didn't know how to love till God blessed me with Kim. I promise you on the word and the power of God that when you are his, you can do all things through Christ who will give you strength. We, the people of God, know that we are his. Even more, we know that we are in him. Not only is his spirit in us, but we know that we are in him. Listen to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him. And we, church, are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Friends, I ask you, do you know that you are in him? Do you know that you are in him? If you do, then you won't hesitate to worship again. Show me a people that worship the Lord in truth and love, and I will show you his church. Show me a people that are good at doing church that do not worship, and I will show you the very people that John is warning us about. And I again invite you to worship. All the lyrics to all these songs are in our notes. If you go to our website, hisbridge.com, and download the notes to this message. If any of these songs are moving you personally, the lyrics are all there waiting for you. I ask you, are you at peace right now in this place of worship? If you are, praise God. If you're not, use this time to ask why not. To be the church is to know not only that we are healed, that we are heard, that we are the haves, that we are helpers, that we are held, that we are holy, that we are His, and that we are in Him. Friends, to be the church is to have a biblical Christology. The true Christian church knows its Christ. Hear me again. The true Christian church knows its Christ. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? It's critically important that you do. For those who don't are easily deceived, drawn away, and damned. Do you know Him? Say, Pastor Jeff, why do you got to end like that? Because God does. Let me take you to the last verse of the book of 1 John. God's word says simply this: little children, guard yourselves from idols. Little children, beloved, guard yourselves from idols. Now look, I could give you a laundry list, a litany of modern day idols. But let me just boil it down to what is really at the root. The primary idol in your world and in mine, in your flesh and in mine, is the idol of self. I would suggest to you that pretty much every other idol is there in some way, shape, or form to serve self. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Look, you and I are probably not at risk to bow down to a little totem pole, a statue, or anything else. But don't miss the fact that fame, fortune, Facebook, friends, family, power, prestige, position, profession, these are all modern day idols. And God's word says that if you are going to be the church, know that you are healed. Know that you are heard. Know that you are the haves. Know that you are a helper. Know that you are held. Know that you are holy. Know that you are His. Know that you are in Him. And lastly, know that you will be held accountable. Know that you will be held accountable. This is a command, an abrupt, loving command. The church is to be the ambassador of Christ. Matthew, I'm going to jump that last video and go right to the church. I want to close this morning in a time of prayer that, as we have done throughout the message, is done with an invitation to come and worship, to come and be. These same folks have written a song called The Church. And I've asked Matthew to play it twice as we close. And now I ask you not just to sit and soak in the spirit of worship, but I ask you to stand and to sound the battle cry that says, "Yes, Lord, charge. We will be your church." As those who have been healed, those who are heard, those that are the haves, those that have a mission to be your helpers, those that are held through the storms, and those are to be holy no matter what. We who are His, we who are in Him, and we who will be held accountable, we will be your church, O Lord. And we thank you for the clarity of your word. I thank you so much, Lord, for the clear, distinct, simple language of your word. Friends, if you will go through the book of 1 John, you will not be able to claim confusion any further. There is tremendous, simple, life-calling clarity in God's word. My prayer is that we will say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, we will be your church. Friends, I ask you to sit through the first rendition. And then I ask you to stand. The words are provided. Let us hear and soak in once. And let us sing and proclaim the second time. This is our close. My prayer is this song will be our prayer. And I promise you, if you are a part of this body, we will be his church no matter what. By his grace and for his glory. Amen and amen.
Oh,
times, and I'm just going to tell you, Pastor Mike and I will be here if you want to pray. I invite you to join in the anthem. I'll ask you to stand, or if you need to go, you go. But I want to ask you one other thing. Anybody notice a little passion in this worship?
Yes.
I want to simply invite you to be a passionate knower of God. And I want to challenge you if you want to put up any excuse as to why you're not. Because I'll tell you what, when you know that you've been healed, when you know that you're heard by God, when you know that you know that you know that you're His helper, you are amongst the haves, you are held by Almighty God, that you're His, that you're in Him, that you are holy because He gave you His righteousness. And when you know you'll be held accountable, you can't not be different. You can't not be a new creation. You can't not be radically transformed and be His. Well, you don't have to be any of those things. But if you're not, you're not.
I choose to be.
Amen, David. Amen. Friends, let us be that light that shines. Let us be the city on a hill. Let us be the light that the moths are drawn to and the cockroaches run from. Let us be the church. I can't imagine a more perfect song to end this message this year and to send us out with. I'm going to invite you to stand. Sing it with them. Or go. But Matthew, just play it twice through if you would. And if we're still standing and singing, play it a dozen times. Amen. When you've got to go, you go. But go as the church.
Oh,
just to ride, carry hope. Let us show this world. Mercy is.